Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. To all the people on the text line who were curious if Callis would tell the story and if he would get good advice, he did tell the story. He did get good advice from one Pathew Bostic.
Yes.
Pat will be with us until 9 o'clock this morning. He'll be forever in Nicholas Harry Callis's heart. Callis had a question about a woman.
May not work.
It might not work, but it's a hell of a plan.
Yep.
Can we tell the people?
No.
No.
We don't need to take up that much airtime, but sometimes you just put the ball in the air.
She could be listening. Callis, so we got to be careful.
Right.
It's a hell of a plan.
It is.
Damn good plan.
Now, I think anybody who listens to the show.
So is Neil Brown's.
He has a concept of a plan. Anybody who listens to the show would probably say, out of the three of us, the one least likely to come up with good advice would be me. Especially too hairy. Doran and I were lockstep on some advice that we gave to Callis.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bostic just flies in out of nowhere with some awesome,
very good
advice.
Now, in all fairness, I mean, I've been with the same girl since I was 14 years old, so.
You're kidding me. Wait, what?
My wife and I have been dating since we were freshmen in high school.
Oh, I have so many off-the-air questions for you, Pat.
You have too, though, basically.
But I got a year. I got recess.
We had a month.
You had a month?
We had a month.
When?
A month.
Senior year of high school.
Okay.
Man.
I have a lot of thoughts that I never put into practice, right? So I'd like to share them and bestow them upon Nicholas because I will never use them. So
you live vicariously through one.
No, I want to help the guy out. I mean, he came in, you guys like shot his dream down.
Yeah, you made it. Poor guy.
I mean, sometimes you need the truth.
Not everyone's you, Doran.
Well, like, I listen.
Not everyone's an All-American who doesn't work out, but looks like they work out and run a 4.340.
I know, and some of us are like Doran. I
mean. Okay, let's talk about Broderick Jones.
Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And you can text us, brought to you by Egger Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Broderick Jones situation's weird. It just is. This is a guy who played pretty good football for them on the right side last year and then has played really bad football through two games and through the preseason. So they rotate him. Your just general thoughts on the situation, Bostic?
I think it reminds me, it's not apples to apples, a little bit of Henry Davis. Like, I just think it's in his head right now. And I know it's not like he's, you know, catcher or left field, like whatever. I mean, it's, but I think the fact that they have played this game with him about swinging over and playing the left side, then they draft a right tackle in the first round. I think it got to him. And I think you can read into what Mike Tomlin said in talking about Dan Moore. And how he's been the same guy. Broderick has not responded that way. He's just not responded that way. When you say you're not in the right mindset, well, why are you not in the right mindset? There's one of two reasons, right? You're not in the right mindset because you're in your feelings, which every player at some point gets that way in their career. Or because you're confused and you're not straight with what you're doing. And that's on coaching. That's on coaching and management of personnel. I think the truth is somewhere closer to it. This has affected him negative mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affected his performance and his confidence. And that happens to players every single year, every single week, at every level of football, at every level of sport. That's what I see.
Do you guys think it's more Dan Moore playing so well or Broderick not playing as well? I think it might be a little bit more Dan Moore has just played pretty good that Broderick is just kind of just left alone on an island.
I think that's maybe part of it. I think that maybe he just hasn't translated. I mean, if you're a first round pick and you're that guy and you don't make that transition fast in the NFL, because you listen, these coaches know what they're doing. Been in the league, you know what a left tackle looks like in the league. You know what they play like. You know how they operate. And maybe there's some self realization with him that I'm not that. I'm not a left tackle in this league. And now, I got to compete with a first-round pick that is, you know, younger than me, and that is more powerful than me.
And that literally had 2 weeks of practice and is a starter, and then didn't get out of 29 pressures, didn't give up a
So if I'm Broderick Jones, I mean the guy that you lean on right now is Dan Moore. How do you handle this, right? How do you? Because something's going to happen, right? Well, he's going to get an opportunity. It's just going to happen. He's the third tackle. He's a swing tackle. He's going to get a chance to play.
Dan Moore Jr. has been good as a run blocker throughout his career, really. And each of the last 2 years in the second half of the season, really good. They averaged like 6.5 yards per carry off the left side 2 years ago when they really turned that running game around. I think it's a little column A, a little column B, and then I would throw Faltano as column C. But to answer your question, in my opinion, Doran, I do think it has more to do with Dan Moore. They still gave Broderick a chance to rotate in there. Like, they could have just benched him, and they didn't bench him. And if they had benched him, I would say it's more about Broderick stinking. And then, of course, he does stink it up in Denver.
Against Buffalo in preseason.
No doubt. But I think it's, again, little column A, little column B, little column C. But if it was mostly about Broderick not being up to the task, I don't think they even would have rotated him in there at all. I just think it would have been Faltano at right tackle. But to your point now, Pat, about the confidence, Dan Moore did what they hoped Broderick Jones would do. And while I said that Dan Moore's been good as a run blocker, he's put some bad tape out there too. And yet he kept working and kept trying to get better. Mm-hmm. They just drafted two tackles. They're gunning for my job. And you know what he's done? Nothing but get better. I'm incredibly impressed by Dan Moore Jr. A guy that, I mean, you listen to this station and me.
Me too.
Yeah, we've all crushed him at one point or another because he hadn't played great football.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, and I'm not, this is nothing disparaging about Broderick Jones as a person or as a player. You're going to go through this in your career. Name the number of first round picks that go through struggles. Bryce Young just got benched in Carolina. Baker Mayfield gets thrown out of Cleveland, basically, and bounces around. Now he's a franchise quarterback in Tampa Bay. Now that's the quarterback spot. A little bit more chew up and spit out at that spot than you do a tackle, but he's a first-round pick. He's hitting hard times. He's got to get through it. The key will be, is he ready for his next opportunity? Is he ready for his next chance when his number's called to go in there and play? If he is, he's got a future here. If not, you know, he's certainly not going to be getting that second deal. And that's just where they're at. I mean, it is a production-based business. Regardless of your feelings, he has not played good enough. And he's been penalized. He's gotten pushed back into the quarterback. There's been issues. And they don't have a margin for error to deal with that, nor does really anybody.
I just wrote down, when is that opportunity? Like, injury aside.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. In practice.
Well, I mean, listen. They could go out and give up 5 sacks to Bosa and Mack this week, too, with Faltano and Moore playing. And you say to yourself, we got to try something else. It could happen. I mean, I have big concerns about this offensive line. Until Sayamalu, like, is he going to be back?
Not this week, but it looks like he might be able to play next week.
I have concerns about this offensive line. I have concerns about, you know, you say the dam's going to break. I think it goes both ways. If they have to throw the ball, I mean, there's been a lot of pressure, not only in these first two games, but also in a preseason.
But then you have to tell yourself, if you're Mike Tomlin and this coaching staff, is Broderick Jones the answer if it goes backwards? Because, I mean, you have a lot of young offensive linemen, so you knew that you were going to have to go through some growing pains. You have a new center. You had a right tackle that's a rookie. You have a left guard that's going into his third start. Like, if they give up 5 sacks to two of the best defensive rush ends in the league, is Broderick Jones really the answer? And would you make that decision to go to Broderick Jones?
I think that recency bias would probably creep in. You probably wouldn't. But I'd go off a guy that played 17 games, 18 games last year and played pretty good over a rookie. Like, if Faltano, they're going to give him help against Bosa and Mack. But if he goes out there and gives up 2 sacks, Broderick Jones is going to play at some point.
I don't know that I... It's so hard because they're so high on Faltano. Right. Doran's point about he gets 2 weeks of practice and bang, he's playing. They don't
never
treat
see
any rookies that way.
Never
no,
see
and,
that.
And he spoke about him yesterday. I mean, you're probably right. I'm saying it's going to happen at some point.
Right.
Injury, whatever. But I mean, let's not go out there and say that they've got the best offensive line in football and Broderick Jones is just the odd man out. I think they've got some holes.
And that's worrisome too, because if you have holes, you would think that somebody that was a first round pedigree would be able to slide in there.
Well, I don't want to. Omar Khan's only been in the seat for how long? A year and a half now, 2 years. I mean, this is not all his body of work, but they haven't exactly drafted well over the last 7-8 years.
No, with players that have, particularly on the offensive line, that have gone elsewhere and then played better, which I think is really concerning too. Here's where I think there would be the opportunity. I think Sayamalu needs to come back, and then Dan Moore needs to string together a couple of bad performances, and then you put a fresh left tackle in next to a veteran. Like, that's what I think it would have to look like. I don't think they want to play Broderick Jones next to Anderson, next to Frazier.
You don't think this is plausible? First half, Mack gets 3 pressures and a sack. Fautano says, I don't feel right. Broderick's back in.
I don't know. I probably not. I think they like Fautanu so much that they're willing to just let him.
No, I'm saying if he just says I still don't feel 100%, like I don't
like not healthy.
Healthy.
Oh yeah.
I think it's plausible if he goes out there. I mean, he's coming off of this has been a nagging deal for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nagging deal. I'm just saying, in the world of football, crazy stuff happens. He has got to be ready for his next opportunity, because that might be his last.
Unless he says explicitly that. I don't think there's any...
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they would play Broderick after last week. Like, I think it's really tough if you're Mike Tomlin, if you're Arthur Smith, to say, after last week, 3 penalties and 6 plays, Broderick Jones plays at any point other than one of those
by
guys
injury,
gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah. Fan Hotline, you can chime in on this. Brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Up next, more on the quarterbacks, because we touched on it briefly before. And then there's some college football stories that I don't understand. And I think Pat might. I think he does. So we'll get into that a little bit as well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Donnie Football went viral last night. You guys see why?
No.
Tweet it out. Penn State volleyball honoring James Franklin tonight by getting it handed to them by a top team in the country.
Wow.
Donnie.
Wow.
Scared. I mean, it would never happen in football. I mean, they're scared. Wouldn't schedule it. Don't want this to happen to them. We'll get into some college football stuff a little bit later on in the hour. Pat Bostic in with us until 9 o'clock. He gave a little eval on Justin Fields earlier on in the program, but I didn't ask the question that everybody's getting asked these days. If Russ is healthy, when Russ is healthy, do you keep rolling with Justin Fields, or what do you need to see from Justin Fields to keep rolling with them? Where are you on that?
This is obviously a big game. It doesn't seem like Russ is going to be ready to play this week based on all indications. I think if they're 3-0, he'd have a hard time taking them off the field. Now, if they're 3-0 and they win, 6-3 and have 189 yards of total offense and are penalized and all those things, the passing game's inconsistent, which it's been to a large extent. It hasn't been bad. It just hasn't been really good. There's a big difference there. I think you're hard pressed to make a change. I mean, this has worked out really well for Justin Fields here in Pittsburgh. I mean, he's in a situation where they're not asking him to be Superman. So he hasn't been Superman. I think that the biggest question for me is, when he needs to be Superman, can he be? Can he do that and not have the turnovers and the negative plays that he's been so prone to, at least in Chicago, and we saw in the preseason? If he is proving to be this better version of himself, you know, I think you not only hedge on that for this year, but beyond. And you don't want to mess with him in that regard.
If you were the offensive coordinator or, say, the head coach of the Steelers, and you had a talented player and quarterback like Justin Fields and everything that comes with him, would you ask him to be Superman? Would that be enticing to, not put the handcuffs on him?
I feel like that is antithetical to who the Steelers are. I don't think they had Superman for a lot of years. And I have a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin as a coach. I think there's part of him, and I think that's the competitive nature of who he is, that wants to prove that they can win his way. And I mean that with all due respect, honestly. And he does not want an offense that loses games. And even Ben lost games with their kind of feast or famine mentality. And they feel like they have an elite defense. They want to run the ball and stay on schedule, which they were not last week. So no, I don't. I would be tempted personally.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in his career, he's going to have to be at some point. But for them to build the way they need to build, and they're very much in growth and development, as he said, which I agree with. The thing right now is to reinforce good habits for him. And I think they're doing that. The fine line, though, is being so conservative that you coach the dog out of a guy. And that is I have a lot of confidence in Arthur Smith being able to toe that line. And it'll be interesting when and if they feel like they've got to take the handcuffs off a little bit. And it's probably going to be by circumstance. It's going to be like, we're down 10. And then what see you then? Because the game goes according to plan for the Steelers. They get a lead. They suffocate an offense, and they run the ball. Take a couple shots to Pickens, a couple chunk plays. We're good. We win 17-10. But if they go down to L.A. or they go down to, you know, Cleveland or anybody, Baltimore, and they're down 10 or 13 in the second half, and Fields is in there, who do you see? That's, I think, when we find out, okay, how much has he really grown? And if he answers the bell, you're cooking with gas.
Doug Whaley was on with us yesterday, and he brought up a really good point. He juxtaposed the Steelers in their handling of a fourth-year quarterback, Justin Fields, with that of what Pitt's doing with a first-year starter in Eli Holstein. I want to pull at that thread a little bit with you guys when we come back, because, Doran, we didn't get to expand on that too much yesterday, and then that'll transition perfectly into some more college football stuff, because it is an interesting weekend, not just on the field in the sport, but perhaps off the field as well. So a ton coming your way. We got an hour and a half left. We got 30 minutes left with Pat Bostic. Let's fit it all into a bag. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 and Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Oh, it's 8:35. I don't know what time it was.
Why are you waving, Callis?
Oh, because it's 8:35 and I wanted to save him.
I thought
something happened.
I just pulled a West Virginia. I just, whatever. 4 minutes, 55 seconds, 3 minutes, 17 seconds left. Time doesn't matter to them. I guess it doesn't matter to me. Well, we're all anxiously awaiting the 50-minute mark on The Fan. So Eli Holstein, first starting experience, game one, 55 points, game two, biggest Pitt comeback since 1971, I think it is, right? Third game, down 10, 4:55 left, wins the football game. Pat Narduzzi makes the decision, I'm going with Cade Bell. I'm going with the young quarterback who's got significant upside, and we're going to let him win us football games. And then you've got the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, year 17. Look, Pat Narduzzi's changed his stripes. Pat Narduzzi said, well, this is the way we're going. And they went, and they haven't looked back to 3-0. And I thought Doug brought up a great point yesterday, Doran, when Pitt was 3-9, they change everything. You come back, and this quarterback, you're letting him go. Mistakes, otherwise, you go play.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Steelers, you got a fourth-year quarterback. and you're putting him in this box. And I do think that's a fascinating point that Doug Whaley brings up, the way that they view things.
Well, it's two head coaches, and one getting out of the way and one standing in the way because they want to be in the forefront. I mean, there's one that realizes that I need to change the way and change the and get with the trends of our respective level of sport, and another saying, like, I've won a Super Bowl, and I want to do things my way. As Pat said before, with all due respect, Mike Tomlin wants to do things his way, even if things do change. Like, he still believes in his philosophy, and he thinks that that is a winning brand of football.
You know, Doug makes a valid point. I do think the cards in either hand are much different, right? Pat Narduzzi doesn't have an elite defense right now, as much as he would hate to admit that. I think they've got a young defense that's getting better, but obviously they've given up the run in consecutive weeks. They've given up, I mean, not a ton of points, but they haven't been as stingy as the Steelers. So that's different. College football is I mean, look, I watched the Eagles game. There were 5 illegal offensive linemen downfield called in that game. They're not calling that in college.
Nope.
It is legislated and officiated so much different. So for Pat Narduzzi to make the change to this style of offense was more like, I have to, because there's just no other way to compete. Whereas in pro football, what Mike Tomlin's doing, we're going to see a mirror image of it on Sunday. And teams without a star quarterback largely play like this, especially if they have an elite defense. So I do want to defend Mike Tomlin a little bit. Now, the circumstances of Pitt's last 2 games have also dictated that Eli Holstein's got to cut it loose and play. Now, I'm not saying if they go up 21-0 on Saturday, they're going to sit on the ball. And like, I think it's hilarious, and it's going to take time, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. But Pat Narduzzi's like, the last 2 weeks, like, we lost time of possession. I don't think Cade Bell cares about time of possession.
Nope.
And I would be shocked. Maybe this weekend notwithstanding, even though Youngstown State averages like 38 minutes time of possession a game, I'd be shocked if Pitt wins time of possession in a game this year. And they may go, and they may win, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 11 games. Who knows? But that's not a metric that matters as much to this style of offense, but it's still in Pat Narduzzi's DNA. When he looks at keys to victory, he's looking at time of possession. It's going to be hard for him to change his stripes on that one. But I say all that to say, like, the circumstances also have dictated that Eli Holstein has to go take the game and pull it out of the fire. We haven't seen that happen yet to Justin Fields and or Russell Wilson.
What are you looking at over there now?
He was just doing a stretch. Are you double jointed in your elbow?
He is.
I am not.
Well, don't you got a weird elbow thing going on?
Your elbow?
Oh, yeah, they click because I pitched and wrestled.
Your left one?
Both my elbows click.
Okay. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like,
can't imagine why that woman.
Let's see what happens if the Steelers are down double digits in the fourth quarter. You know, I don't think they're going to just hand the ball off. We'll see what Justin Fields and this receiving core have, and there are legitimate concerns about, can they play that way? I mean, if the dam's going to break, it's got to break in circumstances like that.
The big difference for me is Pat Narduzzi saw you win an ACC championship a couple years ago, and that ball is in the air a lot.
Yeah,
you got Kenny Pickett. You got Jordan Addison, you got a good offensive line, veteran offensive line, put the ball in the air, win an ACC championship. What I still don't know that Mike Tomlin is looking at, and look, I think he's done a good job through 2 weeks. I said that the other day. Like, I grade different in September than I do late in the season. But the reality of the situation is, his way for Narduzzi, I'm going to go back and do some of the things that we did when we won one. Mike Tomlin, at least right now, I'm going to keep doing stuff that gets me to 9-8, 10-7, and hadn't won jack crap in 7 years. And that, to me, is a huge difference.
Well, it's a difference, too, because of the quarterback situation. Like, I mean, I know he respects Russell Wilson, and he probably does respect, and he's gaining respect on Justin Fields, but having Ben Roethlisberger, a Hall of Fame quarterback, does change the way you do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to college, I mean, there's quarterbacks in college that can just go sling the ball over the yard and may not be Heisman candidates, but they are, you know, a huge component to what they do on offense. But in the NFL, you got to have that guy at that quarterback spot.
There's only a few of them.
Don't you got to find out if you got the guy?
Yeah, but they've had 3 years to watch Justin Fields play. And I think that they are very much in a situation right now where he has got to incrementally earn trust. And I don't know at which point. I'm not going to be able to put my finger on it and say, this is the time. You're like, it's going to be circumstantially driven. They're going to play this way until circumstances dictate otherwise. Whether people like it or not, people want to win. And they're finding they have a formula to win ball games right now. Ultimately, that formula will have to change, and they'll have to throw something else in there to be able to score faster and score more explosively. But that hasn't been the case yet. And it may not be the case Sunday. It may not be the case the week after that. Who knows? But I think if you just asked all of us, if you throw Russell Wilson out there and Justin Fields out there, who do you trust more? I trust Russell Wilson more. Who has more upside? Who are you more intrigued about their athletic ability and arm talent? It's without question Justin Fields. But there's 3 years of footage of instinct, of his instincts not being great. Now, again, he played for a bad team. And I think what they're trying to do right now is, with a starting job, recalibrate him. And, again, that comes back to the fine line between recalibration and coaching the star out of somebody. And I think that's they're having to do that on the fly. And it's going to be interesting to watch, because it's going to come a point in time where he's got to bust out and play. And is he the same guy that's had the worst fourth quarter quarterback rating in pro football? Or is he a guy that's learned? If he's a guy that's learned, I agree. Then I agree with Orlovsky that they could beat anybody. But at this point, I don't know how you could say that.
I don't know
how you can look a camera in the eye and say they could beat anybody playing the way they're playing right now. Like anybody. But then in the same sentence.
Anybody with a pulse.
And then say that in the same sentence that they're not a Super Bowl contender. How can you beat anybody but not be a Super Bowl contender? Dan's going to have to explain that.
I don't want to. What's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know what the word is I'm looking for here, but I'm going to say four words, and we're going to have Pat help us understand these four words when we come back. Florida State revenue sharing.
Let's go.
You should have seen him earlier. Yeah, everybody out there. Pat was like in the last, I got stats for you guys. I got stats. And then he pulls out his briefcase and he pulls out a piece of paper with all his stats on it.
I'm a nerd.
I thought Werther's original Werther candies were just going to fall all over the floor. Guys, I got a stat. He didn't look at his phone like Doug Whaley. I got a stat. Briefcase comes out. Mothballs.
Mothballs. My briefcase is quite clean. There are no Werthers in there, though. That's a good idea.
Bingo card. I got it. Bingo.
And you got callus with his bingo elbow in the back room.
That thing caught me. I saw like just a flying elbow in the air.
All right, coming up next, Florida State revenue sharing, future of the ACC. Classic sports radio topic coming your way at 9 o'clock. Right now we are talking about football. And that's brought to us by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Final segment of the day with Pat Bostic. And Pat, Florida State revenue sharing, talk to me. Tell me what you think all that means.
This is like word association. Like Florida State's 0-3. They play Cal this week.
Throw the records out.
Classic ACC rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
The revenue sharing stuff, I think we all saw this coming, at least those of us close to it. You know, the ACC would like to keep Florida State and Clemson in the league. You know, my question always was, where are they going to go? The SEC doesn't seem to want them. I think the Big Ten's inclined to stand pat. But there's no question that when you look at ratings and you know, any brand metric, that Florida State and Clemson take the cake in the ACC. And I think their contention has been, well, our distribution should reflect that. So to simplify it, I think we could expect to see, and it already has started to go that direction, I'm not sure how public it is, that distributions are computed differently. And there are more metrics that can either increase or decrease your distribution based on ratings, based on winning, based on making the playoff. The financial carrots are there'll be more financial carrots out there for schools like that to probably automatically qualify for based on just their history. But also if they go and win, which Florida State's not doing right now, there'd be more money out there for them to be competitive with the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Big 12. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean...
I wasn't listening.
Good. If that's typical.
Yeah.
You nodded your head, so good job making it seem like you listened, but...
Do you think ultimately that's good for
the Pitts, the West Virginias of the world, schools like that? Like, do you think it keeps conferences more intact the way that conferences are right now?
I think it can provide some short-term stability. I don't know if we're talking about, listen, the financial gap between the ACC and the SEC and or the Big Ten is significant. I don't think this is going a very long way in bridging that gap. There's some appeasement going on, it would seem. But I do think it's important to keep those schools in the league. Listen, the financial challenges present to schools like Pitt and West Virginia are real, and they're going to get more real. And I think schools like Pitt and West Virginia just have to play better money ball in order to be competitive. But as what Pitt's showing you this year so far, and you know, you've seen it other places, that is possible. I think Nick Saban said it to McAfee on game day. Yeah, you have a $20 million budget, but if it's not, you're not spending it on the right players, you're SOL.
Right.
I mean, so listen, is it good for Pitt and West Virginia and others? I don't know. I'd think this, though. Clemson and Florida State leaving the ACC is not good for the ACC. And I think trying to prevent that from happening is prudent.
Shouldn't they want to stay right now?
You would think, but everyone's chasing money, and that's the reality of where we're at. This is college sports is a more of a business today, and will be more of a business in a year from now than it ever has been. And you know, people are looking to take care of their own house right now. And I think schools have proven, whether it's USC or Oregon or Washington, that they're attractive on the free agent market. And I think Clemson and Florida State, I think I understand Clemson more than Florida State. They really haven't done anything in a decade. But Clemson and Florida State are just posturing. And I think, you know, good for them, but I really don't know if there's a destination for them. But the ACC should look to stabilize if possible.
Pat, this was fun.
Yes, it was.
I feel like we got our vegetables there at the end.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Vegetables. It could be poisonous. But they're vegetables.
It could be poisonous.
What the hell is he talking about? Poisonous vegetables.
I don't know what's going on in college sports right now.
I don't know.
It is so uncertain. But I'm trying to simplify it for our wonderful listening audience. And for you.
Yes.
And it's been a pleasure doing so.
Well, I think,
he wasn't even listening.
No, I was. I do. I think that the threshold should always be, if I can get Crowley to understand it, I think a lot of people out there will be able to understand it.
Yes.
And you're a very good, like, litmus test.
Yes. Like, not a total dummy, but, like, not a
yeah,
smarty
but it's
pants.
Hard, though, because you, like, not you make people believe that you are listening and doing.
You're a heck of an actor. You truly are a thespian.
I was listening.
Like, I'll see you, like, you know, somebody will introduce themselves to you, and you'll be like, oh, hey, how you doing? Like, and you're like, I don't care.
Well, I have to do that.
He's a man of the people.
Yeah. You have to do that. The I forgot who you are, but I should know who you are thing happens to me all the
time.
Hey,
man, how you doing?
Yeah. Oh, man, when's the last time? When I see you last?
How about this?
You know what's hard to do?
Tell me.
Look at someone's name tag without them knowing you're actually looking at their name tag to get their
name. It's like the cleavage of the corporate world. You can't really take a peek. You take a peek, you're in trouble.
The cleavage of the corporate world.
You can't take the name tag peek.
What's Comanchik doing out here?
You say, oh, that's a nice shirt. And then they look down, and then you look.
Oh, wow.
Like that shirt. Oh, and I got it at Macy's. And then you're like, bang, gotcha.
Macy's.
Doran, that's a hell of a play.
Uh-huh. Or you could say, you have nice eyes.
Like our boy Nicholas Arikalis. Doran, that is a hell of a move because I have found, and this is a strange thing about humanity, people don't remember the shirt they're wearing. No. You say, hey, that's a nice shirt.
You always look down.
I guess it is.
Well, I guess it is.
Oh, what am I wearing today?
How I remember people's names is I ask them how to spell it if I don't.
How do you spell your name? My name is Joe. J-O-E.
Joe.
What's your name?
I thought it was just J-O.
Mike, M-I-K-E.
Oh, this is a good one. Real quick before we get into a classic sports radio conversation coming up at 9 o'clock. Callis, there's a new promotions person working here. What is her name?
Margo.
And she spells it M-A-R-G-E-A-U-X, like Louisiana style.
Yeah.
And Callis goes the other day, oh, nice to meet you. What's your name, Margooks?
No, he didn't.
I did not. No, that's a fabrication. I never addressed her like that.
He did it to me, though. He was like, what's her name, Margooks?
Her name's Margox. Yeah, there you go.
I know a Margot with an EA UX.
Yeah, but you never were like, hey, did you ever meet that girl? She's so nice. Margooks. You never did that.
No. Well, that's just, you know.
All right, Pat, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week when Pitt's 4-0 and in the middle of a bye week, and you'll be on the top of the world. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 81.